On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Republican State Senator Luther Olson of Ripon on the line. He plans to retire after 26 years in the legislature, and he announced early this year he will not seek re-election in November. So we're looking back on his work with a focus on schools. Olson chairs the Senate Committee on Education and is a vice chair for the Joint Finance Committee, the legislature's state budget writing committee. He served a decade in the assembly and has been reelected to the Senate since 2004. What questions do you have for State Senator Olson? What do you want to know about his work in politics or his upcoming retirement? We're at 800-642-1234. Senator Olson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's good to be with you this morning.
Well, let's start with schools, something very close to you. Schools across the state are, you know, they have all sorts of plans for the fall. Some are in person, others starting virtually. Some are trying a hybrid approach, a combination of both these things. What is the best option?
Well, the best option educationally is to get them back in the classroom. Now, that probably isn't the best option for spreading COVID-19. And so I think what schools are doing, and I think they're doing the right thing, is every school district is looking at how do they handle it in their school district, different than their neighbors or large urban districts, small rural districts. So I think the best way is to get them back, but that's not the safest.
Should the state require all public schools to be held in-person instruction?
No, I don't think so, and I'm glad the governor is not going down that road. We're a local control state, and to require them to be face-to-face just, to me, seems a foolish venue and something that we should not and I don't think will do.
Well, looking at the relief aid going to schools, Wisconsin is part of a multi-state lawsuit against Education Secretary Betsy DeVos over millions of dollars of coronavirus relief funds sent to private schools. How do you feel the education aid should be distributed?
Well, I honestly think that in the world we live in today, it should be spread around to all children going to any type of school, because really, as the state, we are responsible for K-12 education. We fund both systems now, and we have to make sure that no matter where you go, you get the education that you need. And so it's a new system. It's a new way of thinking, but I think that we have to make sure that all the boys and girls in this state get the best education they can, and that's getting more and more difficult with the challenges of the virus.
Well, under the CARES Act, relief funds were set to be distributed based on the percentage of low-income students in schools. Is that the right formula?
Probably. Although there's all kinds of formulas to do it. So I guess the question is the right one? It's the one they've picked. I'm not sure that it's not the only way they could do it. They could do it per student in a district. But if they decide that they're, you know, and they've decided that they're going to go with low income, that can work, and it will work.
We're talking with Republican State Senator Luther Olson, who plans to retire after more than two decades in the legislature. You can join in. What questions do you have for the state senator? What do you want to know about his work in politics? What do you want to ask him in our exit interview? Do you live in the central part of the state? Why have you voted for State Senator Olson over the years? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's look at the mask situation. Do you support Governor Evers' statewide order requiring people to wear masks indoors?
Well, I wish he wouldn't have done that, but, you know, it's working. A lot of stores and places of, you know, worship and whatever have said, we are requiring you to wear a mask unless you, you know, medically can't. So it's working, and I was out and about this last weekend and around the state, and we were riding our motorcycles and stopped to get gas or use the restrooms, and everybody was going in, pretty much everybody was going into the convenience stores having their mask on. And so people have accepted it, but, you know, people just don't like the government to force you to do anything. And that's where the shoe gets tight. But a lot of people are saying, as much as we don't like it, we're going to do it. But then there's some folks who are just saying, heck no, I'm not doing it. And I think that's a small number, but I just don't at this time see the legislature changing that order.
Should the legislature vote to lift the order?
Well, I guess we should, but I still think people are going to wear masks. And the question really is the government, and it's legal, it's sort of a legal situation. Does he have the authority to say that this is another emergency order dealing with, you know, the same one that we dealt with before? So, but I just don't see we're gonna do it.
Well, let's circle back to education with Mike joining us from Slinger this morning. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned the public funding of private schools, which is, of course, Betsy DeVos's baby. I don't understand why public schools, tax dollars, should be spent on private for-profit schools. And as we all know, many of these for-profit schools are part of chains that are actually listed on the New York Stock Exchange. This has become a big, big business. And for my tax dollars to support Betsy DeVos's companies against public schools just does not seem a realistic or a good idea.
State Senator Olson, you can go ahead and respond.
Sure. You know, if you think about it, your tax money goes to private businesses. You know, they have the PPP money that goes to a lot of private businesses to keep them in business. There's lots of aid that goes to private businesses, especially right now. So whether it's a private school or your local small business downtown, your money is going to private institutions. One is educating kids and one is selling goods on Main Street or producing widgets in a factory. So this is really nothing new for the federal government to give private industry, whatever it is, money.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer said the pandemic has shined a light on the inequities in the public school system. How prepared are schools to handle the pandemic going forward?
Well, that is the big thing that I've been talking about in the last few months now, 6 months almost, because we have talked about equity in education for a long, long time. And really, that goal is getting harder and harder to reach because, you know, when you have kids that are having to do virtual learning, some don't have broadband, some their parents are working and the kids don't have guidance to do virtual education. Or if they do, parents get frustrated because they're realizing that how difficult teaching kids is. And so we see that happening. And at the same time, we see parents that are just really delving into this, helping their kids, you know, do thrive with virtual learning and things like this. So I see the achievement gap getting wider and wider all the time.
Talking with State Senator Luther Olson of Ripon. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with longtime Republican State Senator Luther Olson. He is set to retire after 16 years in the Senate, serving the 14th district covering South Central Wisconsin, stretching from Columbia County to Wapaka County and including the Dells. What are the biggest challenges in this part of the state in the years to come? How have you seen the Republican Party evolve over time? What should be the party's top priorities? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. And State Senator Luther Olson stays with us. We heard President Trump issued executive action over the weekend. And among the actions the order provides is a $400 weekly enhanced unemployment benefits, with states picking up $100 of that weekly aid. How do you feel about the president's move?
Well, I guess nothing was happening. And so, you know, Congress just couldn't agree on a package, which is sad. That seems to be happening more and more and more. So, you know, as you mentioned, the president said, okay, I'm going to do an executive order. And I'm not sure that he has the authority to spend taxpayer funds. But I guess if you're unemployed and you need the money, it can happen unless somebody sues and it stops happening. So as far as the state budgets are stretched, we're going to be, I believe, shortfall. So this just really adds to our funds. But I think that a way that will happen is that $100 will come out of the unemployment fund, which was pretty healthy. Now, I don't know how long that can last, but what's interesting is the way that works when the funds get low is we borrow money from the federal government, and then when things turn around, then we just pay it back. So I don't think it's really going to hurt our general purpose revenue budget. It'll just be an increase in the expense of the unemployment insurance.
Our state's unemployment system hasn't been able to keep up with the applications as it stands. How quickly could it shift to a new allocation formula and then providing those resources to pay for the additional benefit?
That's a $64,000 question. I do not know how fast they can switch, but I know that they've hired a lot more people to work in unemployment. You know, the system was never designed to have as many people claiming unemployment as now. And so it was unrealistic to think that we would have a system in place that could handle all those, because that's a lot of people that probably wouldn't have much to do if they were there all the time. So ginning it up and getting it going is what was needed. The problem is it's taken, I think, too long, and I feel bad for people who call us who have been trying to get unemployment for months and not being able to get it, and especially when they've used their reserves and having trouble paying their rent and buying food and things like that. So it's a typical government situation where it does not respond that fast when you have to deal with issues like that. And it never has, and it probably never will.
We're discussing state politics with Republican State Senator Luther Olson from Ripon, who plans to retire, not running for re-election in November. Taking your questions at 800-642-1234. You've raised concerns about President Trump's conduct in office and that him being a poor role model. Do your concerns go far enough that you would vote for Vice President Joe Biden in November, or would you not vote at all?
I just say I'm not voting for Joe Biden.
Okay. You don't want to elaborate further on what you do for November?
Well, I'm pretty positive I'll vote for the president, because as much as I don't like his tweeting and some of the things he says, a lot of the things he says, at least he is making decisions that I think need to be made. And in reality, if you think about it, this pandemic was not his doing. Could he have done better? Yeah, maybe. But most of the things that he did was talk, where the states were really in the forefront, and that's where the action was. I know that, you know, when it first started, he got people from coming in from China, and everybody was all upset about that. But at the end of the day, that was a very smart thing to do. And the sad thing is we have become so politicized in our country that no matter what he does or says, you know, a bunch of people don't like it, and they're not shy about voicing their opinion. And there's out here, I see a huge silent majority that are not so much silent anymore. I see more Trump signs and flags and banners than I've ever seen before for a president. So it's going to be really interesting this fall to see what happens.
Your hometown is known as the birthplace of the Republican Party, and voters have historically elected Republicans in the area. What priorities would you hope for in your successor?
Well, I think right now, I mean, it used to be the biggest thing we had problem. One of the big problems we had was having enough employees for the growing businesses in the district and in the state. That was one of the big things. Now, of course, it's the pandemic. And how do you get the economy going? How do you get this thing under control? And, you know, my district isn't going to come up with the vaccination, but the question is, how do we make sure that businesses can survive so that when it's over or under control, whatever happens, they're in a position to be in business? Or if they're not, how is it easy that somebody else can take their place in that void? So that, to me, that's one of the biggest issues that I see that whoever wins the Senate seat will have to deal with.
What do you hope the GOP prioritizes in the future?
Well, I think the education, for one of them, I've always felt that. That's sort of where I have been in my career in the Assembly and in the Senate. That's, I think, job number one, because if we don't have an educated workforce for the changing jobs that we're having, then I don't see us having a good economic future. I think that we have to make sure that businesses survive and flourish so that they can hire folks. I think we want to make it easy for people to get into business, entrepreneurs to get into business so they can start business and grow the economy. Because if we don't have a healthy economy, then we don't have tax money to help pay for schools and run government. So I think those are some of the big issues that the Republican Party has to deal with.
Let's bring in Don now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Don.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What's your question, or what would you like to add?
Well, my question to Senator Olson is this. How do you justify voting for the lame duck laws that reduced Governor Evers' powers after having 8 years or 6 years of Scott Walker with the same powers?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I was very concerned when we were giving Governor Walker those powers. In fact, I'd bring up in caucus, I said, guys, just realize that he's not going to be governor forever, and we're giving away powers that we should not give away. And at the end of the day, we decided, yeah, maybe that was not the smartest thing, and we should rein those things back. And so I think that we have checks and balances. And at the end of the day, I think the state is doing well with the changes that we made. And so I think that's what it was. We gave away a lot of stuff because we were comfortable with the governor and we were on the same page. But once you're not on the same page as the governor, then you better make sure that you have the powers that you're supposed to have and get them back.
Matt from Wausau emailed us this morning, and Matt says Act 10 did more to undermine the educational system of Wisconsin than anything else. And next year is the 10-year anniversary of Act 10. Senator Olson, how do you feel about it?
Well, I don't agree with that undermined education, because if you look at what's going on, you know, before the pandemic, our schools were doing well. Challenges, of course, all the time because we have students who come that are more poverty, English language learners, more mental health issues, more special ed issues. The challenges are always there. But when I talk to school superintendents and how they're running their schools, they were saying, if we wouldn't have done that, we would have really not been able to, we'd had to downsize because the money wasn't there and we needed to make some changes. It was painful for everyone, of course, but at the end of the day, it wasn't, this terrible thing that just ruined education in the state of Wisconsin.
State Senator, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. And have a good week.
You too. And get on that Harley. Luther Olson is a Republican state senator from Ripon. He represents a South Central Wisconsin district, plans to retire after 26 years in the legislature. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Attorney General Josh Call. We'll discuss the governor's authority to issue a statewide mask order and other things. We'll be back for more State Cap after this news update on the Ideas Network.